Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week and a good start to April. And I hope you have a fantastic Easter. And once again, I apologize for not recording or putting out a podcast in a while. And the reason is I've been very depressed. I don't want to get too far into it. This is not what the podcast is about. But if you are out in the job market right now trying to get a job, it is difficult. It wears on your sense of self. It wears on who you are and your self-worth. But I have made a promise to myself. I've been on a couple of interviews already. I have one scheduled for next week, which I'm very excited about. This one I am. Now, I know that I can't bet on it because I know the job market's very competitive right now. But I am excited about it. This is kind of where I am targeting, right? I'm taking my time to find the right job. I don't just want any job. I'm not in that position. Me and my husband have talked, and he said, you take your time and find the right job for you. Because if it's not right for me, I will end up quitting anyway. So it has to be a good environment. It's because of my anxiety and my CPTSD. Because one of the things my mother did was yank me out of college and make me work full time in a corporate New York City environment, and that I was not ready. I was going to be 20. I was not prepared to be working full time in that kind of environment. And it messed with me so much. I got sick at that time. I've talked about this before in the podcasts. I had a 2-week long, I can't say it's a panic attack, because the definition of a panic attack is that it comes and goes. It was a two-week long, extremely high anxiety attack. And I lost 20 pounds because I couldn't eat. And she took me to doctors because I guess I was annoying her. So she took me to doctors, none of which at the time, we're talking the 1990s here, they didn't know what the heck was wrong with me. One doctor said I had the flu, even though I had no flu symptoms. None, zero, no fever. I wasn't coughing. I didn't have a sore throat, nothing. Because it was an anxiety attack. It was a severe anxiety attack. Anyway, so I have CPTSD in relation to working because of that experience. And actually, that's what the podcast is about today. I appreciate those of you that have bought me a coffee. And if you feel like you can or want to buy me a coffee, the link is down in the description. And I appreciate it. It helps. Every little bit helps, especially right now that I'm not working and not making money and, you know, even to put gas in my car. It helps. Thank you very much for those of you that have. So what I want to talk about today is the difference between PTSD and CPTSD and making sure that you are doing research, the research that you're doing, because that's why you're here. You found me either because you did a search or who knows? I mean, I don't know how you found me. I'm guessing, right? And you because you found out your mother was a narcissist, right? You realized, or your mother's toxic. The word narcissist again, it doesn't matter whether she's actually a narcissist or has narcissistic traits. What matters, and I will always say this, if someone is treating you badly, whoever it is, mom, dad, aunt, friend, cousin, coworker, they shouldn't be in your life. You have to find a way to deal with them. You shouldn't have to just put up with whatever they give you, whatever abuse they dole out on you, whether it's gaslighting, whether it's, you know, if it's someone at work and they take credit for your work, whether it's passive aggressive comments, whether it's constantly putting you down. If they're a narcissist or not, and even though those are my most popular podcasts, the ones where I list narcissistic traits, and I guess people want to know, like, there's some sort of comfort in knowing my mother definitely fits in. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And I'm here to tell you that. Does it matter that she fits in 5 out of the 9 traits to make her officially narcissistic, someone with narcissistic personality disorder? No, it does not matter. Not at all. If they are a toxic person that puts you down, makes you feel bad about yourself, that's enough. You don't need to have people in your life like that. I just recently cut ties with someone who was a friend, quote unquote, and for like a year, maybe more, I had been thinking about maybe I shouldn't talk to her anymore, because every time I hang up the phone, I feel gross. She's never supportive. She insinuates that I only talk to her because I have a problem, which is 100% not true, because I had to listen to her drone on and on and on and on about the same thing that she can't get over with, over it. And I know we should never tell someone just get over it, but it's a situation that by now she should have dealt with and at least be doing something about it so that she's not constantly thinking about it. And she was made me feel bad, like my choices were bad. And I said, and I'm like, why am I even talking to this person? And I just finally, she texted me and I didn't text back. And then she called me and I finally blocked her. And I'm so proud of myself for doing that. Because the fact that I really don't have a lot of people that I can just call and talk to, removing one more person, it is very difficult for me. But we have to do it. We have to do it. Right? And I'm not. And the thing is, I know that this is no big deal, because when I don't talk to her, I don't miss her, I don't think about her. And that's always a sign that that person shouldn't be in your life. All right. So what I want to talk about today is hopefully to help you to find better treatment and answers, even if you're doing the DIY route. I know that getting therapy is expensive, but that you're finding the correct path. So PTSD is more for people who have a singular situation. Okay, so one thing, maybe two things that have happened to them. PTSD came about because of the military, that term, post-traumatic stress disorder, people coming back from war and all the things they saw. And even though they could have been at war for years, it's still PTSD. It's one situation and it's still a limited time frame. Someone who is a witness to a horrific crime. There are kids who have seen someone get shot and die in front of them, right? That's a PTSD situation. So that the treatment for PTSD is different than the treatment for CPTSD. Because PTSD is a quicker turnaround to get that relief. CPTSD is a long process and you're constantly working on it. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter that you've gone to therapy. You feel better. You're going to have the dreams. You're going to have the constant reminders of this was my whole life for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Okay? I know that you guys are all different ages. I know that a lot of you are Gen Xers like me. Gen X women, actually. That's my actually, the demographic is the generation right after. So, millennials, right? Or what they're calling Xennials right now with an X. Xennials, that's my main. So, right before. So, people who are between the ages of 35 and 49, I think, is my the bulk of my listeners. It doesn't matter when you figured it out, but however old you are is how long you've been in this situation, right? Because you were born into it. And that's what the complex part, that's where it comes in. Because you're not dealing with one thing that happened to you. You're dealing with a lifetime of things happening to you, but also hearing the same things over and over again to the point where it's just a part of who we are now. Excuse me, now. So that's a whole different ballgame, right? We're dealing with, even if you're in no contact with mom, mom is in your head. And that is a hard part. And hard to hear and hard to make someone understand. You know, people want to blow you off and laugh. I've been laughed at, you know. I was laughed at by my aunt 2-3 years ago. I don't even remember how long it's been. But I did talk to her on the phone. And this is the toxic aunt that lives in Miami. She laughed at me because I said, my mom made my life a living hell when I was going out with so-and-so when I was a senior. And she laughed as if it were funny that my mother was abusive towards me because she didn't like my boyfriend and she made my life a living hell. And what I mean by a living hell is I was not comfortable ever. I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin because I was afraid of the consequences, right? Because she didn't like him. So she was going to make my life miserable until I broke up with him. And I did break up with him, but it had nothing to do with my mother. And that's something I'm very proud of. I broke up with him because of something he did. Not a big deal in hindsight, but at the same time, it was the right thing to do. I'm glad we broke up. We were going to break up soon anyway. We were 2 weeks away from starting college. And we were going to different schools. It was going to happen anyway. Naturally. So it doesn't really matter. But my aunt laughed. She laughed. As if though that were funny or a joke. What is funny about a mother making their daughter miserable? What is funny about that? I don't know. But you know, I just realized right now, this is the thing about doing podcasts, is that I'll talk about something and then realize I kind of swept that under the rug and didn't think about how awful that was as she laughed at that. Right? It just goes to show you how toxic people work. So, this is my second try at making this podcast. The first one didn't work for some reason. I use GarageBand to record, And it only recorded like 4 minutes. So this is my second try. So if I've already said this, but I don't think I have. not this second try. And it is recording now. That my most popular podcasts are the ones about me listing out the narcissistic traits. And if you have 5 out of the 9 traits, you're considered, you would have narcissistic personality disorder. And, I mean, technically you want a mental health care professional to be the one to diagnose someone, but because they are who they are, they will never go to therapy, or even if they did go to therapy, unless the therapist was really good, they wouldn't pick up on this person being a narcissist. That we're the ones that have to kind of say, okay, they do have this trait, they do have that trait. But what I said in my first attempt at the podcast is that having someone in your life that is toxic, regardless of whether they fit into narcissistic personality disorder traits or not, right? If they are toxic to you, then they should not have access to you. That's how I think. And I'm right about it. I've heard Dr. Romani say it. I've heard other therapists say this. Does it matter? I know that there's something about knowing, like, oh, my mother has narcissistic personality disorder. My mother had it for sure. Like, my mother, she had it. She had it for sure. But even if she didn't fully have it, she's a toxic person who made my life a living hell my entire life. What does it matter? I just want to pass that on to you, because I don't want you to think, you know, you can look at a list of things and go, well, my mom really doesn't fit in here. She fits in here. It's a judgment call on your part, right? But does it matter? Let's put it this way. If you are looking up narcissistic traits to see if your mom's a narcissist, then she most likely is a narcissist. But even if she's not, there's an issue there that you're trying to figure out. Right? Do you need any more information than that? No, you don't. Now, I also want to put this in here. I'm not a therapist in any way, shape, or form. Okay? I'm not a therapist. I've read many books. I'm that type of person. If something happens to me, I'm hell-bent on it not happening again. So I get informed. So I did this when I broke up with the guy I dated after I got divorced. I didn't know about narcissism then either. But I bought books on toxic men, and I learned like the signs. One book was horrible because you have to be careful about what you ingest also, because not everything is correct. TikTok, only for fun, please. Don't use TikTok as a therapy method. There's a few TikTokers that are good when it comes to this whole narcissist thing, but how are you going to know which ones are good, right? And yes, I have a page. I do have a page called Escape Narcissist, but I don't post very often on there anymore. I basically go on just to look at cute kittens and makeup stuff, and that's what I use TikTok for, and tarot. So you don't need to know if your mother or father or whomever it is a narcissist for sure. Okay? If they're hurting you on purpose, if they're hurting you and it's not on purpose, you can have a conversation with them and they would have empathy and they would try and correct the behavior. Someone who hurts you and keeps hurting you and keeps hurting you, there's no empathy there. They don't care. Right? And if they are narcissistic, they're getting narcissistic supply from you getting upset. Right? Okay. So, CPTSD. That is complex post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what we have. Because we were abused since birth. Since we were a child. And there are studies about narcissistic women who have babies and don't connect with those babies because they don't have empathy. So they don't... I don't even understand it because I have a daughter and the first 2 years of my daughter's life are the happiest 2 years of my life. I loved being a mom. I loved being at home with her. I didn't work those 2 years. And I just loved it so much. I loved seeing her first smile, crawling for the first time. It was waking her up in the morning. It was just the most beautiful thing. And I miss it a lot. I miss my baby. But, you know, that happens to all of us moms. But that mothers with narcissistic personality disorder cannot bond with their children because they don't have empathy. And they let them cry in the cribs for hours and hours. And, I mean, there's so many things that happen before we have memories. So, before the age of four, most of us don't know what happened to us. Right? We don't know. My mom used to tell me that she had picked me up as, you know, I was a baby. And she picked me up and that I looked at her and I smiled and that she started to cry. And I don't believe her. Right? I no longer believe that story. I believe that part of it happened. I absolutely smiled because I was a baby. And there's no way in hell, excuse my language, that she was crying or moved by that. No way. She always hated me. She hated me because I came out. My mom is a little bit more olive skinned. She looks more Latin. My dad is very light skinned. I came out very light skinned. Blondish hair, you know, as a baby. And she hated me for that. She hated that I came out like him. At this point in my life, I wish I had other parents. I had DNA to choose from because I don't want to be like either of them, you know? Anyway, so when you are researching your, you know, you want to get better, right? You can't afford therapy. You're doing this research. You want to buy books. Make sure that it's childhood trauma and CPTSD. Because that's what we're dealing with. Not PTSD. Not regular old trauma. And I don't mean to downplay trauma because trauma sucks. I've had PTSD too. I had a car accident when I first moved down here 20 years ago to Florida. And I totaled my car and I had enough time. I had lost control of the car. And I had enough time to think, where am I going to die? Where am I going to crash and die? And because I lost control of the car, it was doing whatever it wanted. And that sucked. I remember being at work and my coworker was calling out my name, Millie, Millie, Millie. I kind of snapped out of it and heard her. And I realized I was in my car, in my head, in my car, living through that experience again. back then, my life, that had been right after my divorce, and I was dating that guy that was bad. I was in such a bad place that I couldn't pay attention to it. But I had PTSD because of that. We all have PTSD because of things we've experienced. But CPTSD is ongoing. Because, for example, we learn not to trust ourselves. We learn that we cannot make a decision without our mother's input. And therefore, when it's time for us to make a decision, we don't know how to make a decision. I still have a problem with that. I don't know if you have problems making decisions, but I still do. And I get so anxious when I make a decision, when I make it, after I make it, because I think to myself, is it the right decision? Right? And let me tell you something. We all make choices. We can't see into the future. So your decision may or may not work out, but that doesn't mean you can't make a decision or you shouldn't. Even if it's a risk. You have to make, we have to be able to make a choice, a decision. You know? I'm saying that I'm going to take my time to find the right job, and I could do everything in my power, get a job, and it'd be the wrong job. Let me tell you something. The job I had before, I thought was the right job. I was sure it was the right job. And I didn't have any problem making that decision, by the way. I said yes immediately when I was offered the job. As a matter of fact, I wasn't chosen first. It was between me and someone else. And my boss chose the other person, but she made up some story and turned down the job because it was part-time. And when he called me and offered it to me, I started crying because my intuition was telling me, I don't know why, I can't explain it, but it was telling me that even though he had called me Monday to tell me he had offered the job to someone else, and he kept apologizing, and I was like, I just wanted to hang up and cry, you know? But something, for the next 2 days, there was something in my head that kept saying, don't give up this, you could still get this job. And on Thursday, I got a phone call from him offering me the position. I thought it was the right job, and it wasn't. Because you don't know what you're getting yourself into, but that's the thing. That's okay. That's all okay. That's part of life. If you get anything out of this podcast, is that making a mistake, or it's not a mistake. That's the thing. Making a decision or a choice that turns out not the way you expected is normal, and it's okay. And it's a learning process. Now, I can't say, oh, I learned all these lessons from that job. No, it wasn't me. It was, the job was, has a bunch of toxic people up at the top. All right? That's what was going on there. And then, you know, they wanted something and then they decided, oh, no, that's, we don't want that. And then things changed. That's what happened there. It wasn't my choice. It was a toxic workplace. I enjoyed the people I worked with that weren't VPs, the C-suite, you know, CEO, CFO. I liked the CFO. He was a nice guy. CEO, CFO, COO, and the VPs. By the way, there was like 100 employees and we had all these C's, VPs, directors. Why so many directors? And when you go into a work somewhere and you have a lot of top heavy positions, you know that there's problems. Because what are you a director of? What are you directing? Right? Your job title should reflect what you do, and it didn't. in this particular job. My boss was trying to make that, to change that. And, well, I won't get into that. But it wasn't my fault. I didn't make the wrong choice. And I wasn't in it. I did like what I was doing. So I didn't do anything wrong there. It just went wrong, you know, and sometimes that happens. But that's the thing about making a decision, right, is you have to make it. You make it and you hope it goes well, right? And it's okay. We cannot live in fear of what may go wrong. And I did. I was in fear of that. So much so that, I think I said this before, I started applying for jobs in January after the holidays because I felt a shift. And because empathic, right? So I felt the shift. They let a friend of mine go and I didn't feel like it was a fair thing. They just let this person go without any letting this person explain themselves or anything. They just let them go. And honestly, being an HR person, but I had a supervisor and he wasn't involved in that. I was not. He told me the day they were going to let her go, because I was part-time, I was leaving an hour earlier than, you know, people left work. He said to me, just so you're not surprised, blah, blah, blah is getting fired. And I was like, oh my goodness. I left and I didn't know what to say, think. I didn't want to look over in that direction because I knew she was going to be let go, right? So, and that's what really triggered me to start looking, because when someone is let go without a good reason, I mean, a really good reason, on the spot like that, there's a problem with the company culture. Anyway, so what I want you to get out of this is something that I heard. Funny enough, I mentioned the TV show Mom a lot on here. I don't know how many of you watch it. If you don't, I suggest you do. There is something very, I think I like it so much because they're alcoholics. That's the whole premise of the show. And you see them at their AA meeting. Most people that have substance abuse issues have childhood trauma. So that's where my interest in that show comes in, I guess. And I've learned so many things from it. And one of the things was this. And it's funny because the character who says this, he's not a main character, but he's very funny. He's the main character's ex-husband. Bonnie, who is the main character's mom, she ends up being the main character, but the main character's mom, she's going to buy a car, but she's scared. Okay, so here's a perfect example. She's scared because she goes, you're tied into this for years, you know, 6 years. I have to be paying for this car. And she's afraid. She's afraid that she won't have the money, that something's going to go wrong. You know, she's married. I don't know if she's married at this point or if she's engaged, but that her husband, fiance, he was doing well and he had bought a bar. I know, ironic. He bought a bar and he was doing well, and she was afraid that it was all going to go away. And the salesman happened to be her daughter's ex-husband. And Baxter is his name on the show. He's so funny. He says to her, you should enjoy what you have at the moment. Now, he got married to a woman with money. And so he was living a life he wasn't used to. And she asked him, she's like, aren't you afraid that you're going to, you know, separate from her and you're not going to have money? He goes, yeah, but I have it now, and I'm going to enjoy it while I have it. And that is how we should be thinking. Just to put it out there. Enjoy what you have at the moment. And that's one thing I can say I did while I was working, where I was working, was I was enjoying the perks of working. Right? I felt good. I was making money. I felt useful. I bought a car. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, I didn't have a job, but I did buy a car. It was not brand new, but it was a car I never thought I'd have. And we're still okay. As far as the car, we can't go on vacations or anything like that, but we'll be able to pay for the car payments. I still had enough money to pay for 2 months worth of the car. So that's good, you know? But you cannot make a decision based on fear of what will happen in the future, because we cannot see into the future. We cannot see. That is just one thing that happens with CPTSD, is the fear of making a decision without input from 100 people, because you want to make the right decision. And the other thing that goes along with this is that our mothers probably told us, when you failed at something or didn't go your way, or they see it as a failure, they would say, mine would say, oh, I knew that was going to work out. And I would get so angry, and I would be like, well, why didn't you tell me anything? Because they didn't know. They can't see into the future either. Excuse me. But they have us thinking that they have special powers, which they absolutely do not. They cannot see into the future. Right? And part of being a parent is letting go of your kids. Letting them go. And the one thing that a narcissistic mother cannot do is let us go. They need to be involved in everything we do, have a say, and try and control how we do things, but on the top of their list is ruining our romantic relationships, our marriages, our dating life. That is number one on their list. That was a question, I think, on, I don't know where I saw it, but someone asked that question, like, have any of you experienced your mom getting involved in your personal, like, romantic relationship? It's like, oh, I didn't even respond because I knew they would get so many comments on that. Because that's their number one goal, is to ruin our romantic life, because they're miserable in theirs, right? So they want to see us miserable too. And it's not, even if they're not miserable in theirs, but they have to be because they're never happy. Narcissists deep down inside, not even so deeply, they're miserable people. They just are. They're miserable because they also have childhood trauma, but they dealt with it in a different way. They dealt with it in the way of saying, I'm never going to let this happen to me again. They turn evil because of it. All they do is to make themselves feel better and to make sure that they never get hurt again. That's what they do. Instead of, you know, empathic, why do they choose that? That's a mystery. I don't think there's any research on why some of us go this way and we become these meek and, you know, always wanting to please mom and do what she says, and then we're messed up forever because we've been gaslit our whole lives, and we've been, you know, triangulated, and we've been abused, we've been put down, and some abused people go the other way. And then there's a mix, because I've talked to people who've had narcissistic mothers. It's been clear to me, not to them, but to me. And then they are partially narcissistic. They have narcissistic traits, but they're not 100% there. Like, there is some empathy, but they don't realize that they're not really making the best decisions for themselves either. So that's the trick here, right? Or the mystery of why our mothers decided, or why it happened that way, why they became narcissistic as and we didn't, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you and I do not have narcissistic traits, because we do, 100%. Everybody does. It's as simple as we live in our own skin, we look out of our own eyes, we are the center of our own world. So we're going to have some narcissistic traits. And sometimes, I think that if we make a choice based on what's in our best interest, we think it's narcissistic. And it's not. Or selfish. It's not selfish. There are situations where we need to think of ourselves first. And that's a choice I had to make recently, related to my job, so I can't be too specific, but where I just stepped away and said, I'm done. I'm done with this whole thing. I'm done with them. I'm done with that company. I have to be done. Because if I'm not, I'm not going to move on. And I quit. I made that choice. Maybe it was the wrong choice, but I made it. So now I have to move on with my life. That doesn't make me a narcissist, right? To make a choice that, you know, maybe not going to help someone else as much as they would suspect I would. So making a choice for yourself or putting yourself first does not make you a narcissist. It does if you're putting yourself first to harm someone else. But if you put yourself first to protect yourself, that's not narcissist. That's not a narcissistic trait. Anyway, I think I've talked long enough. I don't know if I was specific enough, but I hope that there's a differentiation between CPTSD and PTSD there. And that I think I delved very deeply into a trait of CPTSD or being raised by a narcissistic mother, which is not being able to make a decision. That's a big one for me. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I know I could recognize this since I was very young. So I'm going to stop there. And as always, I love you so much. I hope that you're doing the best that you can. And if you are alive and breathing, and that's all you can do today, you are doing the best that you can. We're all doing the best that we can. It may not feel that way. And I, like I said, I've been depressed because the job market is just horrible. And whenever I get an interview, I perk up. But then, you know, I had one last week and I did not want to work with that woman. Oh my God. Talk about narcissist. Yikes. I saw her and I was like, nope, I should have just walked away and not have gone through the interview. Wow. First, intimidating. I'm not a small person. Okay. I am 5'6". She must have been 5'11". I don't know. Maybe taller. Did not smile. I mean, I looked at her and I went, nope. No, I knew right away. And I knew, I was sitting in an interview like, really? Seriously? So there were some answers that were very, they wanted to hear something different from me, so they phrased it differently, and I still went with my original answer. Why? Because I didn't care. I didn't want that job, and when I came home, I actually went on Indeed and pulled my application. So, she wasn't going to hire me either, because we were not, no. I didn't, no. They're just people, and I think that it's not just me. Anyone who takes that job is not going to be happy, and I foresee seeing that job either staying posted or being posted over and over again, because that woman is, who wants to work for her? No one. All right, guys, I love you very, very much, and wish me luck. I am going to post this today, hopefully. Wish me luck on my interview, because this one coming up is one that I'm very interested in. It's a nonprofit, and I don't know. I have that feeling about it, and that's my intuition again, and my intuition or whatever it is. Wish me luck, and I'm here, and I love you guys. And remember to join the Facebook group. It is private. I have a fantastic admin that is on top of it. I check when I can, but she's on top of it. Let me tell you, she's been awesome. I need to send her something because she's awesome. She's just fantastic. Anyway, so I will talk to you guys soon. Until next time.